Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Week one is now in the books. I hope you survived your Monday. I haven't really had a chance to talk about anything in the last couple of shows except for football, which is okay because football drives the bus and certainly is a topic and a lightning rod that bring far more people to the radio, far more people to the podcast. Numbers, they really do escalate, even skyrocket in some cases when it comes to this time of the year. A lot more eyeballs and earballs, as I say, and the numbers for TV viewership as well as podcast downloads and that sort of thing, they definitely reflect a greater interest in football season. We've been inundated with Week one storylines because they started long before the games began on Sunday. And even going back to Thursday and Friday, there was all the brouhaha over Brazil. Since I wasn't working on Friday, I never even talked about the Jordan Love moment and that injury by the time I got back on Sunday night. Thankfully, the news had been revealed that he is only, and I say only because it could have been a lot worse, only dealing with an MCL sprain, and we do have an update from the Packers on how they're handling his injury and what happens next. We'll get to some QB news in the final 2 hours of the show, the second half of the show, if you will. Also, some injury updates for guys like Kirk Cousins, also Josh Allen. So there are always on Monday kind of the kick or the follow-up that comes from a weekend of football, which guys dealt with serious injuries, which guys are going to be out for a while. One of those is Puka Nacua of the Rams, which stinks, but he aggravated a knee injury that he's been dealing with. And so he's been put on, is it IR? I go back and forth between the various sports and I feel like I'm constantly dealing with a list that I get wrong. IL, DL, IR.
You're right.
All right. So it's IR. And they recently changed it in the NFL, too. It used to be a different one, and they made it IR. Or is that baseball? Baseball changed it. Okay. So, yeah, he's been placed on IR, and he will miss at least four games because of it's actually a PCL injury, but because of a knee injury. So we'll try to offer what we can, but I dare say that through the course of the week, we'll get more of these injury updates. That has become a greater priority for the NFL with the popularity of not just fantasy football, but betting too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence at A-Law Radio to find me on Twix, also on our Facebook page. If you haven't yet voted for Monday MVP, few minutes left in that poll. Pete and I are working out the touchdown of the week candidates. Again, they're conversation starters. There are many different ways that they could go. We tend to lean toward game winners or calls or touchdowns that were scored later in games or turning points. Also, history, things we haven't seen before. In the case of DJ Dallas, who ends up with the return off of the dynamic kick the dynamic kick formation. That's the first one that we've seen there. So, yeah, we try to find the best radio calls, but we also want them to be significant moments in the games, too. And so we'll get to that if we can before the end of this hour. We'll have another poll up on each of our accounts at Amy After Hours and then on our Facebook page. So a lot to do still. But before we dive into anything else, I must, because I'm sure many of you feel the same way, but I must remark about the passing of James Earl Jones. He lived an incredibly impactful and full life, and he passed away at 93. Of course, it's really sad to lose him and his iconic voice, but I'm so thankful that we had him as long as we did. I had heard this story before, but I heard it on the news driving in, and it always blows me away. He, for years, would not speak outside of his home, speak in public. He had a stutter, and he was woefully embarrassed and had a lack of confidence when it came to speaking. And he worked with people. I'm trying to think. I think the story goes there was a teacher that encouraged him. Don't quote me on that part. But he has one of the most recognizable voices in all of American pop culture history. Forget that. Forget pop culture. One of the most recognizable voices in our nation's history. Pop culture or no. And this is a man who, for a long stretch of his life, was so uncomfortable and embarrassed about speaking in public because of his speech impediment that he wouldn't do it. Isn't that incredible? What a miracle. And what a story of victory and triumph over great adversity and great trials and tribulations. Yeah, I'm, again, very sad to lose him, but I'm so grateful that his work will live on and his legacy will live on. He's an American icon in so many ways. Some unforgettable roles. By now, of course, if you've been following along for any length of time, you recognize that I'm a huge Star Wars nerd. I could go on and on reciting my favorite lines from Darth Vader for the rest of the show, but I won't do it. He is the voice behind what may be the greatest villain in movie history. But he was also Mufasa, and he was in Field of Dreams and Sandlot, and we could go on and on. Another one of my favorite roles, wasn't he in Hunt for Red October too? I'll have to go back and look. I don't want to get anything wrong because sometimes everything gets jumbled up in my brain.
There was a bunch of parts he was in that you won't remember until you go back and see the movie, because he was in a lot of cameos in many movies, like Naked Gun. He was in the last Naked Gun they made, and a lot of people wouldn't think that, but he was an actor in the last Naked Gun. It's unbelievable.
Coming to America, yes, was another one that he was in. I did not see the Naked Gun movie, so I will take your word for it there. But you're right. He was in so many. Yes, I knew it. The Hunt for Red October. In 1990. So he did Coming to America in 88, Field of Dreams in 89, Hunt for Red October in 90, Sandlot in 93, The Lion King in 94. Oh my gosh. But these are movies that have, they're movie franchises that have multiple iterations. And he is not only an Emmy Award winner, but he's a guy that has a resume you can't even fit on a one page. And as you point out, he has a ton of cameos too. It's not just about his voice. It was also about his acting chops, both the small screen as well as cinema. And I am sad that he is gone. I'm really sad for his family. I'm sure they miss him. But man, will he be remembered and immortalized with his work forever, even generations that don't know who he is and don't recognize his prolific acting chops. But yeah, he gained international fame for his voice of Darth Vader in the Star Wars franchise that goes all the way back to the mid 70s. I didn't know he was in Conan the Barbarian, also a movie I've not seen, but just in general, Conan the Barbarian. Picket Fences. That's a great show. Frasier. He was in Frasier? See, wow.
That's what I'm saying.
He was also in Roots. That would make sense. Homicide, Life on the Street, Jesus of Nazareth. Yeah, I'm going to have to go back and watch some of these. So I will miss him and his voice, and I am in awe of his pipes. Oh, my gosh.
Well, just commercials, too.
That's true.
Another thing, he was the voice of CNN. He was the voice of...
On CNN.
In this area, at least the tri-state area, New York area, Bell Atlantic, the heart of communication, that was him.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I saw a bunch of montages on social media, montages of his work in various films, some of his best roles, some of his most memorable lines. And so I shared one of them that was a compilation of some of Darth Vader's craziest lines, some of Darth Vader, just the inflection behind that mask. And it was so perfect for Darth Vader. He actually wasn't the actor in the costume. He was just the voice. So it's really funny. If you have never heard or seen this, the actor who played Darth Vader, his voice is so incredibly different from James Earl Jones. Initially, though, he was voicing the character of Darth Vader, and they didn't want that. They wanted something much more menacing and dark. And yes, James Earl Jones was the perfect voice for that villain. And so I'll retweet it at A-Law Radio. But I did share, it came from the Discussing Film Twix account, a compilation of his best lines. Although as I'm watching, I'm thinking, oh, wait, there's more. There's more. I've got more. But I think probably the one that people would point to as his most memorable, "No, I am your father." I can't even.
The power of the dark side. Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father.
He told me enough. He told me you killed him.
Hi, Luke.
No, I am your father. Search your feelings. You know it to be true. No!
But, I mean, that one is a serious one. There are some funny ones, too. I find your lack of faith disturbing. I've altered the deal. Pray I don't alter it further. Obi-Wan has taught you well, but you are not a Jedi yet. Seriously, on and on I could go because these are my favorite movies of all time, and he played such a significant role. Star Wars would not be Star Wars without James Earl Jones. Paul is listening in Florida. Paul, what do you think?
Absolutely. I'm not a big Star Wars fan on all the new ones. I'm an old guy, but I love the first three. But I wanted to call and suggest a movie, one of his movies to you. He and Robert Duvall were in a movie together called A Family Thing.
Okay.
It's not really that old, but it is a great movie. You should check it out.
What's it about?
Robert Duvall finds out he has a long-lost brother, and then it goes from there. And James Earl Jones is the brother. it's a great movie.
Okay. It's called A Family Thing?
A Family Thing, yep.
All right.
And Amy, I've been listening. I have never listened to any sort of talk radio before in my life, but about 4 years ago I stumbled onto your show, and now I have listened every night. And I think it's great. I'm a huge fan.
Oh, thank you, Paul. That is a great compliment. I will take that. I appreciate it so much.
Okay, y'all have a good one.
Thank you. Wow, especially in Florida, where he's on East Coast time or an Eastern time zone. Jake finds me on Twix at A-Law Radio. He says James Earl Jones always did voiceover for University of Michigan football games to hype the crowd. That's amazing. So even though this show has much more of a serious type of tenor, I guess I've used that word a bunch, has a serious undertone because we've been talking about Tyreek Hill. I did not want to skip the chance to bring up James Earl Jones on the occasion of his passing. Again, sad for him, for his family, but 93, what a full life he lived. I hope that when it's my time to go, I can be proud of a life that was as full and well-lived as his. Forget about the success part. I mean, he earned all of that, especially with the challenges that he overcame. I don't really care about the success part of things. I'll never be famous like James Earl Jones. But just to say that you packed so much life into your 93 years, he certainly did that. Let's do one more call. Dean's in California. Welcome to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I wanted to call just to comment on the Tyreek Hill thing.
Okay.
I'm 62 years old. My first experience with the police, I was probably 9 years old. I grew up in South Central Los Angeles. I've never been incarcerated and in trouble. But from that trauma that I had at an early age, it carried through 60-something years. And I believe Tyreek behaved that way because he was fearful. He didn't roll down his window. He didn't comply because of bad experiences. And me hearing you guys talk about it, I never called into a radio station. It just made me relive my trauma. And even today when I get pulled over by a police officer, I freeze because I'm fearful of what could happen. And we always talk about relationships with the police officers in the black community, but they never think about the trauma that's been caused and the therapy that's really needed to heal the situation so things won't escalate. And it's just been my experience that I'm still living with this at the age 60, so when they pull me over, I'm fearful. Even though I comply, bad things happen. And when you ask them why they pulling me over, they don't give you an answer. My wife even had me ride around when we go on vacation to different states. She had me put my driver's license in this plastic thing that I put around my neck so I don't reach for anything, so I could give it to them right away. I shouldn't have to live like that and be in that kind of fear of people that's supposed to protect me.
True.
But it's sad to say when I talk to my grandkids and my 40-something-year-old son, I have to always remind them to be careful, not of other people, but the police officers.
And you're right, that may have been part of what was going through Tyreek Hill's head. I don't know. I can't speak to that, right? I only know what we've heard from him. I don't know what was going through his head at the time. He did say, and this is, I'm just repeating what he said. He did say that the reason he didn't roll down his window is because he didn't want people taking photos, recognizing him and taking photos of him through the window and just turning it into a big deal that would, you know, would become viral, which ultimately, obviously, it went far more viral than that. I don't agree with how these officers handled it, and I feel like they were very unprofessional when it came to how they chose to respond to him when he didn't listen to their request to put down the window. So yeah, I hate the whole situation. I think it could have been handled so much better, so much more professionally by the officers. I hate the force. It didn't seem like it was necessary in any way, even if they did feel like they were disrespected. But I also don't love that Tyreek was lippy too. And as you point out, there may have been other past experiences that led to that. I still wish that both sides had handled this so much differently. But maybe it's an opportunity now for either these officers or other officers in that department, or either other officers around the country, to understand how quickly it can go so horribly wrong.
Yeah, because sometimes you don't even have to be lippy. And it still happens to you.
I understand. I do understand that, sir, and I appreciate that you were willing to share your perspective. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dean, listening in California, I know that there are many people listening, and doesn't have to be only African-American or only Black people. There are many people listening who've had their own run-ins with law enforcement or authorities, or don't even have to be police or sheriff, in which they were treated wrong, treated unfairly, treated poorly, not protected by the people who were supposed to protect them. And that's a scary thing. That definitely is a scary thing. Whether we're talking about, you know, law enforcement, we're talking about other authorities that abuse that power and use it in a way that was inappropriate and in some cases unlawful. And certainly Dean is correct. Those experiences can leave us with scars and can leave us with stress and trauma that's triggered when we're in a situation like that moving forward. Only Tyreek Hill knows what he was feeling in those moments. Same thing with the officers, though, right? I mean, what Dean had to say about Tyreek can also apply to law enforcement. Again, not excusing actions on any side. It could have been handled better in a bazillion ways. But what if these same officers had been in a situation where, yeah, they lost someone, or because someone else didn't put their window down, a situation turned dangerous or turned deadly. So yeah, I think the same thing can apply to both sides. Though, ultimately, as authorities and as law enforcement, the responsibility lies with them as the professionals to de-escalate a situation and not allow it to get to that point. I think that's an important note. And I would expect that with all the body cam footage out, the Miami-Dade Police Department is going to have no choice but to address this in a serious manner. At least I hope that's the case. I hope there's enough accountability, but also public pressure, if that's what it takes, to make sure that this is not the way things are handled moving forward. At A-Law Radio, our Facebook page too. Do you think we're ready for TD of the Week, producer Pete?
Oh, well, we'll see in this break.
All right, so maybe or maybe not. It's a surprise. You'll just have to wait and see. But if you have a favorite James Earl Jones movie or a favorite James Earl Jones line from a movie or TV show, I'm happy to retweet those at Amy After Hours, because he is worth celebrating. His life, his career, worth celebrating. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Here on After Hours, we like you as much as you like us.
Hey, good morning, Amy. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
I really enjoy listening to your show. I actually get up and go to work earlier just so I can hear your takes.
Amy, I love your show. I've been listening for years, and I'm a first-time caller.
Great, thank you.
How you doing, Amy?
I'm good.
I've been listening to you for about a year now. You keep up the good show, and I'll keep listening.
Good morning.
Hey.
Hey. Hey, Amy, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
You do a great job. Love listening in. Just get me home every night. I don't know how you do it by yourself.
Love you, Amy. I drive home from work every night. I'm a bartender.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Fresh Atlantic salmon portions, 7-ounce farm-raised, including marinated portions, just $5.99 each. Delicious Hass avocados or mangoes, 4 for $5, or just $1.25 each. This week's digital deal is the delicious Sumo Citrus, $2.47 per pound, limit 4 pounds. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
And I listen to you every night. Love hearing a lady on sports radio.
That's right. We rock. Thanks so much. I appreciate your phone call.
Woo!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
We are 2.5 hours into our show. Week one is now in the rearview mirror, and we're still sorting through the rubble for a bunch of teams. But can I tell you something that is so ludicrous to me? I was just perusing social, as I typically do on a Monday when I wake up. And sadly, I woke up far too early, and so I wasn't able to get back to sleep, and I would just decide I would start looking at the early Monday football headlines. And I saw this byline to a link on a particular sports website. Quote, analyzing Caleb Williams' slow start. That was the headline. Analyzing Caleb Williams' slow start. And I swear to you, I yelled out loud, he's played one game. That's not a start. You cannot analyze a rookie quarterback with one game and one four quarters. Just, that sounded funny. You can't analyze a rookie quarterback and whether or not he's at a slow start or a quick start with four quarters. That's ridiculous. But it just is another example of an overreaction Monday. Analyzing his slow start, it's such a small sample size. And these are the Bears, who had the number one overall pick, for heaven's sake. So I just, this kind of stuff after week one, it sometimes makes me mad. Sometimes, most of the time, it makes me laugh. Like, you've got to be kidding me. Facepalm Friday. But we'll get to Friday eventually. But yeah, that's the kind of stuff as we sift through the rubble. There's such an overreaction because all we have is the one game, right? And so people want to take it and run with it and freak out over it. Your team's not winning the Super Bowl after 1 week, and the team is not eliminated after 1 week either. Not even those Carolina Panthers, who were awful, I feel, for Dave Canales. The Browns weren't much better, and we talked about this game extensively between the Browns hosting the Cowboys and the fact that it was very lopsided. It was, for me, just another major red flag when it comes to Deshaun Watson. Now, here's the issue. He may be healthy now. Great. That's one big hurdle. And he may be able to play every game for the Browns this season, which would be in and of itself a major accomplishment. But the issue is, how long since he's played football for longer than a month? Going back to his well, it was a mutual decision with the Houston Texans for him to sit out in 2020. They paid him not to play. But then in 21, after he gets traded, you end up with a, well, he gets traded and then he's with the Browns, right? So you end up with the 11-game suspension. You end up with him only playing the very end of the season. Last year was the shoulder issue. And while at this point he appears to be healthy, it's been such a long time since he'd gone all the way through a season that you wonder how quickly or if he will get the rhythm back. I mean, he's still got all the talents and skills and abilities, but also he's older now. And there have been a lot of injuries and there's been a lot of mileage. So I'm worried. If I were a Browns fan, I would be worried. And that's to say nothing of what just happened on Monday with yet another woman coming out to accuse him of inappropriate sexual conduct. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now, this is in the form of a lawsuit filed in Houston that is accusing Deshaun Watson of both assault and battery of a sexual nature in fall of 2020 when he was still with the Houston Texans. And you can say what you want about the lawsuit, about the accusations. You can say or believe that it must be another woman who's piling on. It's the same attorney that handled all of the massage therapists and their claims against Deshaun Watson, most of whom have been settled and were settled before he ended up serving that 11-game suspension. But this is of a different nature. She's not a massage therapist, at least according to the lawsuit. A woman who's not been identified by her real name. They gave her the pseudonym of Jane Doe, which is fairly standard when it comes to cases that involve sexual assault. But she claims that she met Deshaun at a Houston restaurant in a bar. and that he tried to pick her up then, tried to get her to leave with him, but ultimately they ended up agreeing to a dinner date at her apartment. Now, according to the lawsuit, she was reluctant to meet him in public. I don't know if that's because of, who knows why, because he was a professional athlete, maybe the cameras, maybe social media. But instead, she agreed to a dinner date at her apartment. And she, in the lawsuit, outlines first that Watson had trouble finding her apartment. And as they're on the phone, she claims he was yelling and screaming at her and saying he didn't have time for this. And then she says when he finally showed up, she was in the makeup, or she was doing her makeup in the bathroom. She came out of her bathroom and found Deshaun buck naked on her bed and asking her to massage him. Similar to, again, some of the claims that were made by the massage therapist. She says that he asked her to massage his rear end and that she rubbed his back because she wasn't going to do that. And she thought it would be a happy compromise, I guess. But then she claims that he rolled over and was making more demands about her massaging him, and that the woman protested and he was very aggressive at that point, pulled off some of her clothes and assaulted her without her consent. And she says in the lawsuit that this happened for several minutes before she could get away. And she even she's even put this detail in the lawsuit that she grabbed a heavy piece of decor for self-defense. And that at that point, Deshaun stormed out of her apartment. Again, this is all her side of a story that she is telling through a lawsuit that accuses him of sexual assault and battery in 2020. According to the authorities, this lawsuit has nothing to do with the other civil suit that is still outstanding against him. And that's the massage session and the sexual misconduct from the perspective of a massage therapist. But it is the same attorney. And I can understand why that would lead people to question. So yeah, going back, actually, you know what? I was just thinking about this. I had my years wrong. So in 2020, he had a really great season, didn't he? He actually had some terrific numbers in 2020. And I do remember, even though the Texans weren't that good, he had, I wouldn't say it was a dark horse MVP candidacy, but at least for a while, he played extremely well. So that was 2020. 21 is the year he sat out. March of 22, March or April of 22 is when he was traded to the Browns from the Texans. So they waited on him for a year and they wanted a better haul than what teams were offering. But yeah, there were a bunch of teams, including in the NFC South, that were looking to trade for him. And the Texans finally felt like they were going to get what they needed in return to trade him. So Pete, I know you were looking at it, but yeah, I think in 2020, he had a really good season with the Texans.
Was the most yards he threw in his career.
Yeah, that's right.
4,800 yards, but 4,800. 23.
So it's coming back to me now. This is his third season with the Browns. And yeah, if I'm the Browns, I already had buyer's remorse because you haven't had him on the field for a full season yet. And there's been injuries. But now this, right? So they stood by him, I would say defended him and defended their fully guaranteed contract that they gave him, even through all of the lawsuits with the massage therapist. They wanted to get them settled. They waited through the 11-game suspension, but now this on top of it. And the NFL, I think, has indicated just through one source that they will investigate. And this could end up being a completely different reaction than what they had with the massage therapist and those lawsuits. But I think just in general, the fact that there's another one, another accusation, and the Browns are already not sure if they're ever going to get what they paid for on the field, but having to deal with this off the field again, goodness. I mean, there are at least some cases why you should not give fully guaranteed money. There may, though, be some type of behavioral clause in his contract. I do, and even this goes back to 2020, there may be some type of a trigger in his contract when it comes to behavior, probably is because of the lawsuits, but I don't know if that would cover something that happened back in 2020. So a little convoluted. And yeah, for his part, he didn't play great on Sunday against that Dallas defense. He was talking about himself that he had he'd been dealing with some loss, and I don't want to say may have been distracted, but that he'd been dealing with some loss, and he was carrying a heavy load.
You know, at the end of the day, you know, football is definitely something that, you know, we got to take very, very serious, and it's our job, it's our career. But, you know, there's other things that's bigger than this. You know, I lost my dad Friday. I lost my brother, my teammate yesterday, DeAndre Overton, only 26 years old. So, yeah, I mean, it's been a long week. You know, and you know, they gave me an opportunity to go back home, but, you know, I told them I wanted to be here with my guys.
So that's Deshaun talking about his father passing away on Friday, and I didn't hear about it until after the game. So my heart goes out to him and his family, no matter what else has happened. That's not an easy thing. And then he also mentions DeAndre Overton, who's a former Clemson receiver, and Deshaun played at Clemson. He was shot and killed at a party in North Carolina in the Greensboro area. And there were police that were on the scene that were responding to like noise complaints about the party, but he was pronounced dead at the scene. And right now, according to the authorities, there's an open homicide investigation. And as Deshaun said, he was just 26 years old. So certainly a lot that he was carrying with him. Maybe that did affect his play. He did choose to play, however, even with that heavy heart. And now this on top of those two reasons to grieve and those two losses. At A-Law Radio, our Facebook page as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
All right, Amy, Monday Night Football all going the way of the 49ers.
Hodges crouching under center. He'll get the snap. He'll fake the handoff. He drops back seven. He moves up and avoids trouble. There's a line drive pass deflected on the ricochet. Intercepted far sideline on a dive. It's intercepted by Demetrius Flanagan. Fouls the linebacker.
Aaron Rodgers picked off after the ball was tipped as the Niners pound the Jets 32-19. Kevin Harlan to call Westwood one. Christian McCaffrey not active, still not ready due to the calf injury suffered in camp, but Jordan Mason picked up the slack. 28 carries, 147 yards in a score as the Niners held the ball for nearly 39 minutes, churned out a buck 80 on the ground. Rodgers just 167 yards in the air, touchdown and a pick in his first game since tearing his Achilles week one last year. Meanwhile, a new civil lawsuit filed in Houston accusing Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson of sexual assault and battery in October of 2020. Of course, Watson served an 11-game suspension in 2022 after more than two dozen women accused him of sexual assault and inappropriate conduct. Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel visibly upset as he continues to discuss the Tyreek Hill situation after he was retained by police before Sunday's game.
I do think that it's supremely important to wait for information to be gathered before any rush to judgment. But regardless, I know the feelings expressed to me are unsettling.
Police union representing the officers that detained Tyreek Hill put out a statement saying he was uncooperative and was redirected to the ground while in handcuffs because he refused to sit. Rams won't have Puka Nacua for at least 4 weeks. He was placed on IR after re-aggravating his knee injury. Browns reportedly adding former first-round pick wideout Kadarius Toney. Packers starting Malik Willis Sunday against the Colts as Jordan Love out with the knee injury. However, no IR for Love as they hope to have him return within the 4 weeks. Baseball, the Phillies double the Rays 2-1. Cody Clemens a walk-off RBI single. Mets up in the Blue Jays 3-2. Yankees club the Royals 10-4. Reds shut down the Braves 1-0. Red Sox punished the Orioles 12-3. Pirates 3, Marlins 2. Angels erased the Twins 6-2. Guardians took out the White Sox 5-3. And the Cubs dismissed the Dodgers 10-4. I'm Marco Belletti.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call. 855-212-4227. Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The show is going quickly. I was hoping that Pete and I could use some of the James Earl Jones moments from cinema and TV, but maybe we can do that as we head through the week. It's always pretty hectic as we come back from a football weekend and after Monday Night Football and then everything else that's going on. So I guess we're a little bit late to do QB news here. However, we can talk about some of the QB news that we've gotten over the course of the last 24 hours. Everything from Jordan Love to Josh Allen. Also a little bit about Kirk Cousins, too. But first, I want to take this call from Derek in San Diego, 855-212-4227. Derek, thank you for joining us here on the show.
Amy Lawrence, great show. Love
thank
it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You're doing a great job. I want to give a little perspective here. So just a brief background. White male, police officer for 24 years, recently retired. Married to an African-American female, four kids, three males, one female that are mixed. Society looks at them and says that they're African-American, which is fine. I have no problem with that. But here's the deal, okay? I've watched the body-worn camera video of this Tyreek Hill incident, and the conduct of the officers does not look good. Overbearing. A lot of bravado, a lot of nonsense. I do find it interesting, though, that after a 24-year career where I spent 2 years in South Central Los Angeles working with and policing mostly minority contacts, and then spending the last 20 or the following 22 years in San Diego, and literally being involved in thousands of stops that I conducted in 24 years, let alone assisting in probably thousands of other stops, I never saw anything that was sideways. Are there cops that are overbearing, that don't do a good job? Absolutely. But for my children that society looks at as African Americans, the only thing I had to teach them as I taught them to drive was, if you get stopped by the police, do what you're told. Keep your mouth shut. Do what you're told. And it seems like we live in a society now, and I'm not an old man. I'm only 53 years old. It seems like we live in a society where nobody likes authority. You've got kids assaulting teachers. You've got people assaulting police officers. You've got all of this nonsense going on, and here's the deal. Just as your children, when you are parents of children, there are times, and bosses, there are times when you simply get to do what you're told, and you don't have to like it.
True.
You don't have to agree with it, but you get to do it. And so I submit this to you. While I thought that body-worn camera videos were very, very aggressive, no doubt about it. But I submit to this to you, had he simply unrolled his window and handed the police officer his driver's license, registration, and proof of insurance, that traffic stop would have been over in 5 minutes. He would have gotten a ticket for whatever. He escalated it. The cops escalated it, but from a moral standpoint and from a society standpoint, you don't have to like it, but unfortunately, you get to do it, and that's just the way it is. I managed to navigate a 24-year career with the California Highway Patrol working in South Central Los Angeles and an area of San Diego where there are a lot of minorities as a white cop, and I managed to navigate my career without not one citizen's complaint for anything, verbal discourtesy or
excessive force or anything. So it is possible, is what you're saying. Yes. So I just have about 30 seconds, and I want to make sure I can ask you this. Do you think that the Miami-Dade Police Department should discipline or, I don't know, any type of write-up for the cop? I mean, how would you handle it if you were the police department?
100%. those officers that were on scene at minimum need to be verbally warned and probably written up.
Okay.
But when we're talking about, you know, administrative, we still have to go back to the fact that had Mr. Hill simply done what he was asked to do, this would have gone away.
Right. Derek, I'm so sorry. We're up against the top of the hour, but thank you so much for listening. More than that, though, thank you for your service. That's a long tenure in law enforcement and a long record, and I appreciate that you were sharing your perspective with us about Tyreek Hill. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.